Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning in verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, for my child died. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. He went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. And inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend. They said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did. He was come out of Judea into Galilee. From this portion of Scripture in God's Word, I want to bring you a message this morning on how we need to test the Word of God. We, like many people of all ages, need to test God's Word for ourselves. In many cases, we are not sure that he means what he says. We wonder if maybe we are interpreting it wrong, or maybe it is not of great importance. So therefore, we're not sure concerning the many things that God tells us in His Word. Most of us believe what He said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when He told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We don't seem to have any trouble believing that. Yet we put so little value in what he says about our spreading the gospel to other people. We think if we give our money to mission work, which we should and do, then that relieves us of obligation because the missionaries will do our work for us. But this command was not given to missionaries. It was given to church people to proclaim the gospel to every creature. Some believe that we are saved by grace. They have no confidence in seeking first kingdom of God and His righteousness. it would seem that most are willing to believe God when it comes to the way of eternal salvation. They have no confidence about what he says concerning how we should live as Christians. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, God had inspired Malachi to write to his people about their giving. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house. But he said, you've robbed me. Said to them then in verse 10, prove me. I want you to prove. This is God talking to his people. Now that means test. I want you to test me and see if I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings. Some of you are sick. And some surely that don't mean what it says. Yes, it does. It means exactly what it says. It means that when you start straying from the ways of God to your own ways, you don't have God's protection. Now I want to tell you this morning, we need the protection of God in everything that we do, every walk of our life. Noah not only believed God for eternal salvation, but he believed him about his blood. Boy, you're talking about something that had been hard to believe in those days. When it had never rained, and somebody come out and tell you there's going to be a flood. But Noah believed it. And as a result, Noah and his family was in the ark and was saved from the death of this water, the drowning. Moses believed that God would deliver his people from Egypt. And he counted. Now listen to this. Because you and I don't think like this. Moses was a prince of Egypt. But he counted the reproaches of Christ greater than all the treasures of Egypt. Now you know what most of us would have done? Most of us, if we had been in Moses' shoes, we would have said to God's people, we would have said, now I'm gonna go ahead and live like I've been living. I'm gonna stay prince of Egypt. Because you see, I got a chance to be the king. And when I get to be king, I'll make these Egyptians carry you out of this land of Egypt into the land of Canaan, piggyback. You won't even have to walk. Now, don't that sound like a good plan? Wasn't God's plan, though, was it? But that'd probably been mine or yours. If we'd lived in that time, we'd have probably figured out there's no reason to quit being a prince. There's no reason to turn away from the riches of Egypt. There's no reason to have to suffer the reproaches of Christ. But Moses counted them as greater than all the treasures of Egypt. Know something? Moses was 40 years old. I will not recall. He was 80 years old when he sent him to deliver people out of Egypt. He was older than that. Probably close to another 40 years before he died. Let me tell you something, folks. It's profitable to serve God. It's profitable to believe God. Paul said when he was on his shipwreck, I believe God. Everything else looked dim. Everything else looked like there was no hope. It looked like death for sure. But Paul said, I believe God. And an angel stood by me this day and said to me, as long as you stay on the ship,
I'll take care of you.
All demons. All abandonments. Here in our text, we find a man testing the Word of God. He had a need. He knew it. His child was very, very ill. He believed that his child would die if he did not get healed. There was no doctors that could help him. There was no medicine that he could take for this illness. And he believed with all of his heart, if he did not get help from something greater than what's on this earth, his child would die. The Bible said here, if you notice in the reading, that he was a noble. This means a royal standing in service, probably of a king. Most likely, he was a servant of King Herod. And no doubt, through John the Baptist, he had heard about Jesus. Now, he may not have believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and would die for his sins. He probably didn't believe that. But he had heard that this man called Jesus could heal people. He probably figured that he had a close connection with God. Because he knew that only a power above humanity could meet his need. Most people, regardless of their standing in society or their philosophies, when nothing else can help, they're ready to turn to a high power. That includes us Christians. But we should depend upon God for everything. For every night, for every day. This man believed that in some way God could meet his needs and heal his son. He said to Jesus, "Come down before my child dies." Now, every person in this building today has needs that only God can meet. The greatest need that somehow is to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We sing a song here. Then leads us every once in a while. Usually it's in the invitation of our church. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Others, thou art called. This is just some of the word. But this is what every heart that knows not Christ should be thinking. You have enough intellect in your brain to realize that one day you will leave this world. I think you believe there is a God, or you wouldn't be here today. You're going to stand before me. You need a Savior. Because to be found standing before God in your own self and by yourself is to hear the words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew." Go into an everlasting torment that was prepared for Satan and all. One that can say, "Father, I died for all their sins. Charge them to me what I paid for Calvary's cross." And everyone here that is a child of God has a need to serve God. Think you've trusted Him to save your soul. But you don't think He's worthy to run your life. I want to assure you today that your life will be much easier and much better. You're walking. Then this man realized that he had an opportunity, not only a need, but he had an opportunity to test the Word of God. Jesus had come into his community. Probably wouldn't be there long. His child couldn't wait. This sickness was going to take his life. He needed help now. Jesus was here. I need to get him to help my son. Our Lord said He would be here with us. He said, "When there are two or more gathered together," and he's talking about his church, "where two or more are gathered together, I will be there also." We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to talk with Him in our hearts this morning. Let Him know you're ready to put it first in your life now. Say, "Lord, use me. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know what I ought to do for the Lord." There's problems. But you must first start with If you're not consistent and faithful to worship God, if there's not a desire in your heart to meet with God and His people in this building, you will never accomplish anything. To Him, to the glory in the church, throughout all ages, world. That means this age too. Once we have dedicated our lives to be consistent and dedicated to worship Him, we can start by spreading the gospel to others. You know, the only way that people can get very many to come to the house of God today. Have great repentance. You know this. It's not new. It's not news. It's a fact. It's a competition. It is a taking of things from the world that people like and bring them into the church to try to entice people to come to the house of God. Either salvation or entice you to come to the house of God. Nothing brings you close to Jesus. Once we have dedicated ourselves to Him, then we have the opportunity to deal with His failures. That's the whole essence. Then we notice this man was tested by the law. Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. He answered, come down before my child. You're going to be tested this morning. You're going to be tested by Satan. It's going to say to you, you don't need to go to Christ today. You've got plenty of time. You're young. You got many years to get out here and enjoy all these good things in the world that you might have to give up. You go to Christ. I want to assure you, that's as big a lie as it could be in the Bible. God said today, now, he said, is that acceptable? Our Lord, as I mentioned a while ago, was sitting with Phoebe this morning. And you look to Him in your heart. Can you believe that He died for your sins? Jesus said, come and meet all ye that labor and have labored. He's talking about your soul. He's talking about you've labored and labored over this thing, but come to me. I'll give you this. Think in your heart. Satan probably puts it there. I can't get up for all these people as Christ. Jesus said, the best beautiful man in the office is here for my Father into heaven. Think about it, fathers and mothers. Your son lying almost dead. You've got to go return to God. But you hear from God. Your son's going to live. Folks, that would bring challenge back to Baptists that used to shout over the great things of God. What comforting words that comes to a sinner who may be your sin. You have a home in heaven. Your soul will never die in His presence and be tormented in heaven. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. He said, I'll pour out blessings when you obey. Your need will I take care of. You see my kingdom. There are many, many good and comforting words. Then last of all, I want you to notice, this man wanted something from Christ. He got more than he asked for. When he saw that his son was okay, not only he, but his household. You see, I believe when this man came to Jesus, he did not necessarily believe he was the Son of God to come to die for sinners. I don't think this man came to Jesus seeking eternal salvation and forgiveness of sin. But he come to God, to his son. But when he went away and he heard that his son was truly Wanderly. He believed that this was the Son of God. He believed what he had heard from John the Baptist, that the Son of God was coming. So it is he. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. But you know, God always heals in a moment. In the parable that Jesus told about the son that went away from his father and lived a life, a life of immorality, wasted all his goods. His son wanted to go back home, and he said to himself, in my father's house, there is abundance. There's plenty for everyone. So let them. In the miracles of Jesus, he not only fed the people. There was baskets for food. God always gives us more than we need. Young Solomon, when he was going to be king, only asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom, riches, there's no limit to God's blessings. And we believe and trust in His word. Mountains of our life can be moved. Problems can be solved. I've said a lot of times, and I still say, I do not understand in our time that we live in. Many people, when they have problems, they quit God. They quit church. They don't want to be around God's people. They have the attitude, I'm going to take care of all my problems, and when I do, then I'll come back and serve God. God can take care of my problems. Then we can. When I have something going on, something wrong, I'd rather be among the people of God, in the house of God, than anywhere I know of. Because you see, if I tell God's people I've got a problem, even if I don't want to tell them what it is, God's people are not set up to criticize those that become weak, or those that become sick, or those that have troubles and trials in their life. God's people are to help and lift them up before God in prayer, and God can bring them through these things by His grace.
can say to you this morning, just like Paul said to the Philippians, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now step. Let us stand.